What we're going to do next is to take a look at some updates of various aspects of the Balkans War. As I speak on November 14th of 1999, the Balkans War has to a certain extent faded from the headlines. And nonetheless, there are some very significant developments that have taken place over the last several months, and we're going to update some of those right now. We're going to begin with an article that was taken from the ZNet commentary. That is the internet wing, I guess one could say, or aspect of Z magazine. Not a publication that's generally particularly credible. However, this particular article is by someone who is very credible and who has done some very, very good work on the Balkan situation. That woman is Diana Johnstone, and we're going to access this article from ZNet's commentary of September 26, 1999. This article is entitled Nazi Nostalgia in Croatia. And this is a subject we've touched on before. It is the reemergence of Croatian fascism in the now, quote, independent Croatia. And to a considerable extent, that, quote, new, unquote, Croatia is simply a rehabilitation of the Nazi collaborationist Ustaše regime from World War II, a regime so brutal they even horrified the SS. Diana Johnstone writes as follows in this particular article. When I visited Croatia 3 years ago, the book most prominently displayed in the leading bookstores of the capital city, Zagreb, was a new edition of the notorious anti-Semitic classic, The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Next came the memoirs of the World War II Croatian fascist Ustaše dictator Ante Pavelić, responsible for the organized genocide of Serbs, Jews, and Romani gypsies that began in 1941, that is, even before the German-Nazi final solution, unquote. However, if the Croatian fascists actually led rather than followed, the German Nazis, down the path of genocide, that doesn't mean they have forgotten their World War II benefactors. After all, it was thanks to Hitler's invasion of Yugoslavia that the, quote, independent state of Croatia, unquote, was set up in April of 1941, with Bosnia-Herzegovina, whose population was mostly Serb at the time, as part of its territory. And the hit song of 1991, when Croatia once again declared its independence from Yugoslavia and began driving out Serbs, was, quote, Danke Deutschland, in gratitude to Germany's strong diplomatic support for Zagreb's unnegotiated secession. By the way, the renewed German midwifing of fascist Croatia was discussed in, among other programs, For the Record segment number 48 and For the Record segments 154 as well. So contact Spitfire and get a hold of those for more background on the fascist background of Croatia and Germany's midwiving of this this Balkan fascist state, not only in the World War II period, but in the contemporary period as well. Returning once again to Diana Johnstone's commentary of September 26, 1999. In the West, of course, one will quickly object that the Germany of today is not the Germany of 1941. True enough, but in Zagreb, with a longer historical view, they are so much the same that visiting Germans are sometimes embarrassed when Croats enthusiastically welcome them with a raised arm and a Nazi Heil greeting. By the way, there is far more continuity between the new, unquote, Germany and the old than a lot of people would like to have one suspect. I would note that German peacekeeping troops, and that probably belongs in quotes, from the, quote, new, unquote, Germany, greeted Volker Rühe, the German defense minister, who visited them with Sieg Heil, exactly what these Croats were greeting contemporary Germans with. So take Diana Johnstone's commentary in that regard with a grain of salt. The rest of it, however, can be put in the bank. Continuing. So it should be no surprise that this year's bestseller in Croatia is none other than a new edition of Mein Kampf. This is not a critical edition, mind you, but a reverently faithful reproduction of the original text by that great European leader, benefactor of Croatian nationalism, and leader of the Third Reich, Adolf Hitler. The magazine Globus reported that Mein Kampf is selling like hotcakes in all segments of Croatian society. For those who want to read more, there is a new book entitled The Protocols of Zion, the Jews, and Adolf Hitler by Mladen Schwartz, leader of the Croatian neo-Nazi party New Right, and Talks with Hitler by the Führer's aide Hermann Rauschning, as well as various other memoirs celebrating the Ustaše state, whose violent massacres of Serbs shocked the Italian fascist allies and even German diplomatic observers at the time. The dissident Croatian writer Predrag Matvejević, and that's Matvejević, and I'm sure I'm butchering the pronunciation, who has Italian citizenship, has sent the Rijeka daily Novi List an open letter to the Association of Croatian Writers and the Croatian Center of the International Pen Club, denouncing their failure to protest at this promotion of the absolute worst of racist Nazi propaganda. Quote, passing through the streets of Zagreb, Split, Dubrovnik, and other cities in Croatia, countless Croatian citizens whose parents took part in the anti-fascist partisan struggle are ashamed to see the works and photographs of Hitler and other Nazi and Ustashi criminals displayed in bookshop windows, unquote, he wrote. Again quoting, their publication is a disgrace to Croatia and its culture, unquote. This is no accident, he said, in Tuđman's Croatia. For this is the same regime, he noted, that has allowed the destruction of thousands of monuments to the victims of fascism from one end of Croatia to the other, and in which mass is celebrated nonstop in honor of the Ustaši Führer Pavelić in the churches of Split and Zagreb, the Italian daily Il Manifesto reported on September 3rd. In another report in Il Manifesto, Giacomo Scotti, S-C-O-T-T-I, reported from Zagreb that the terrorist campaign by nationalist bands led by the neo-fascist Croatian Party of Rights, unquote, has been stepping up its pogroms against the small number of Serbs now living in the Krajina region. The overwhelmingly Serb population was driven from the Krajina by the U.S.-backed Operation Storm, unquote, in August of 1995. Officially, under heavy international pressure, the Croatian government has allowed some Serbs to come back, mostly old farmers. However, on August 25th, the Croatian Supreme Court denied local tribunals the right to hear complaints from citizens who had not been allowed to enter their property, thus encouraging lawlessness. With the complicity of the authorities, armed bands have been breaking into the few homes reoccupied by their Serb owners, beating and threatening old people, and devastating their farms, chopping down trees, and destroying crops to force them to leave. These facts are contained in two letters to the Croatian government from the Croatian Helsinki Committee for Human Rights. By now, however, it is abundantly clear to everyone that crimes of intimidation, physical violence, murder, robbery, vandalism, or ethnic cleansing are of no interest to Western governments, to international media, or to any court in the world, so long as the victims are Serbs. And note the reference there to Operation Storm that was discussed in For the Record segments 48, Germany, the U.S., and Croatia, recorded in the fall of 1995, and a company known as MPRI, which stands for Military Professional Resources Incorporated, had much to do with preparing the successful Croatian offensive, which was also liberally aided by Germany. What we're going to do now is to take a look at MPRI's role in helping, apparently, to train and equip the Kosovo Liberation Army, functioning in a role with regard to the KLA and its fascist antecedents, in a role not unlike the role they played with the neo-fascist Croatian forces in 1995. We're going to turn now to the Progressive magazine's issue of August of 1999. This is an article by Wayne Madsen, a M-A-D-S-E-N, a Washington journalist and frequent commentator on intelligence-related matters and electronic surveillance. This article is entitled, Mercenaries in Kosovo, subtitled The U.S. Connection to the KLA, and it reads in part as follows. Meeting in the fourth-floor conference room of a quaint red-brick office building in a quiet section of Alexandria, Virginia, a group of retired generals discussed military support for a U.S. ally. The topic of the day, how to train and equip a shadowy guerrilla group accused by the State Department of being a terrorist organization. The military men knew that the Drug Enforcement Administration suspected the guerrillas of smuggling high-grade Afghan heroin into North America and Western Europe. Note, please, that it's Afghan heroin that has been coming in courtesy of the KLA. Afghanistan was a major focal point of U.S. covert operations under the Reagan and Bush administrations, following the Soviet invasion in 1980. Continuing. Police agencies across Europe had been alerted to the links among the rebels and the Sicilian, Calabrian, Neapolitan, and Russian mafias. Was this the setting for a Tom Clancy novel? Or was it a flashback to one of the numerous secret meetings attended by the likes of Richard Secord and Oliver North during the Iran-Contra scandal of the 1980s? Actually, it was neither. It was a real-life and present-day strategy session at MPRI, formerly known as Military Professional Resources Incorporated. Its client? The Kosovo Liberation Army, or KLA. MPRI is one of a handful of Pentagon contractors known as private military companies providing support to the KLA, according to retired Army Colonel David Hackworth in an interview with Fox News' Catherine Cryer. According to Hackworth, MPRI has used former U.S. military personnel to train KLA forces at secret bases inside Albania. According to its website, MPRI was founded as a Delaware-based corporation in 1987 by 8 retired military officers. Its present board of directors is a virtual who's who of retired Pentagon brass. Members include 1 retired admiral, 2 retired major generals, and 10 retired generals. One of those is former U.S. Army Chief of Staff General Carl E. Vuono, V-U-O-N-O. MPRI employs more than 400 personnel and, more importantly, has access to the resumes of thousands of former U.S. military specialists from Green Beret and helicopter pilots to supply clerks and cooks. The firm, which according to Jane's Intelligence Review is involved in internal conflicts in Angola and the Congo, as well as the Balkans, did more than $48 million in business in 1997. MPRI's motto is, quote, "Our integrity is our most treasured asset," unquote. Some of the military leadership of the KLA includes veterans of MPRI-planned operations Storm and Strike, 1995 Croatian military offensives that resulted in the ethnic cleansing of Serbs from eastern Croatia. One former CIA official confided that he is not surprised that MPRI is now involved with the KLA. "It fits the pattern," he said. The military commander of the KLA, Ajim Ceku, C-E-K-U, is a former brigadier general in the Croatian army and, according to the London Independent's Robert Fisk, an ethnic cleanser in his own right. Along with MPRI military advisors, Ceku helped plan the Croatian offensive that drove some 350,000 Croatian Serbs from Krajina province. Croatian forces also destroyed more than 10,000 Croatian Serb homes. Another KLA leader is Zafit Haliti, who is not even a Kosovar. He is a former officer of the dreaded Albanian secret police, the Sigurimi, an entity that has chalked up innumerable human rights violations inside Albania. By the way, that man's name is H-A-L-I-T-I, the Sigurimi, S-I-G-U-R-I-M-I. Continuing. KLA leaders have been accused of assassinating moderate Kosovo Albanians, including some of those who agreed to the Rambouillet peace accords. In fact, according to Albanian state television, the KLA had sentenced to death in absentia Ibrahim Rugova, the democratically elected president of the Republic of Kosovo. The KLA boycotted the election he won in 1998. Apparently, Rugova, whose government in exile signed the Rambouillet Accord, was too moderate for the KLA. Until last year, the KLA was regarded as a terrorist organization by the State Department. The San Francisco Chronicle reported last May that, quote, "Officers of the Kosovo Liberation Army and their backers, according to law enforcement authorities in Western Europe and the United States, are a major force in international organized crime, moving staggering amounts of narcotics through an underworld network that reaches into the heart of Europe," unquote. By the way, 2 excellent articles by the Chronicle's Frank Viviano on that subject are part of For the Record segments 153. Continuing and skipping down. During the recent conflict between NATO and Serbia over Kosovo, the U.S. government changed its position on the KLA. U.S. officials shoved aside more moderate representatives of the Kosovar Albanians in favor of KLA guerrillas during negotiations with Serbian leader Slobodan Milosevic. Still, quote, "suspicion of criminal associations taints the KLA's newly acquired legitimacy and clouds its recent efforts to press NATO for money, guns, and other supplies." The Wall Street Journal reports, quote, "NATO so far has said no, despite concern that the refusal will only entrench the KLA's reliance on murky groups and make it less suitable for a role in a post-war Kosovo government," unquote. One of those murky groups not mentioned in the Wall Street Journal article is Washington's own NPRI. NPRI has been involved in the Balkans for years. In 1996, after the ethnic cleansing in Krajina, NPRI received a $400 million State Department contract to, quote, train and equip, unquote, the Bosnian Croat Muslim Federation Army. By the way, that would presumably include elements of the Hanjar Division of the Bosnian Army, that named after and explicitly patterned after the 13th Waffen-SS Division, the Hanjar Division put together by Haj Amin al-Husseini, one of whose members was Ali Izetbegovic, the president of Bosnia. I would note that the new Hanjar Division is composed primarily of ethnic Albanians. Continuing. In a caper reminiscent of the Reagan administration's solicitation of funds for the Contras, the United States managed to get Saudi Arabia, Brunei, Malaysia, Kuwait, and the United Arab Emirates to pony up more than one-fourth of the cost of the Bosnian military contract. Retired Major General Walter Yates runs MPRI's Bosnian operation, which is officially known as the Military Stabilization Program. The company's good fortunes in the Balkans are advertised on the firm's webpage. By the way, the information about the Hanjar Division and also the fascist antecedents of the KLA, including the descendants of people who had served in the 21st Waffen-SS Division, the Skanderberg Division, composed of ethnic Albanians, primarily from Kosovo, that's discussed in For the Record segment 161, available from Spitfire. Returning once again to this article from the Progressive's issue of August of 1999, and resuming again with that passage. Retired Major General Walter Yates runs MPRI's Bosnian operation, which is officially known as the Military Stabilization Program. The company's good fortunes in the Balkans are advertised on the firm's webpage. The page shows a map headlined, quote, "Where in the world is MPRI?" Arrows pinpoint Croatia, Bosnia, and Macedonia as centers of MPRI activity. Serbia is also mentioned as a country where MPRI mercenaries are active. MPRI has also helped set up a number of arms factories and military training schools in Bosnia that are staffed by veterans of the Croatian war against Serbia, as well as Bosnian Croats and Muslims. In early April, MPRI was caught off guard when Bosnia's army arranged for millions of dollars worth of arms to be secretly transferred from Bosnian caches to KLA guerrillas in Kosovo and Yugoslav Muslims in the province of Sanjak. As a result of the arms transfers, the State Department, quote, temporarily suspended, unquote, MPRI's train and equip program. Retired Rear Admiral Eugene J. Carroll, Jr., Deputy Director of the Center for Defense Information, says such weapons traffic is a predictable side effect of mercenary companies like MPRI. Quote, the military loses control of material twice. First, they turn it over to a commercial enterprise, and they turn it over again, unquote, he says. When it comes to supplying arms, NPRI has a fortunate next-door neighbor on the fourth floor of its Alexandria headquarters, Cyprus International. Cyprus is a well-known international weapons broker. NPRI shares one other thing with its arms-dealing neighbor. Retired Major General Vernon Lewis, a member of NPRI's board of directors, is the founder of Cyprus. MPRI does not have a monopoly on the lucrative mercenary business in southeastern Europe. Last year, MPRI bid for a Pentagon contract to help oversee the withdrawal of Serb forces from Kosovo. But the Pentagon awarded the booty to DynCorp, another big-league military contractor playing in the private military company world. In addition to retired military personnel, DynCorp also actively recruits police officers for peacekeeping missions requiring a more civilian profile. DynCorp prides itself on being able to rapidly respond to the U.S. government's procurement morass to get personnel quickly to trouble spots like the Balkans. Its website proclaims, quote, in Kosovo, 75 peacekeepers were deployed from the U.S. 13 days after providing a quote, unquote. Another U.S. company involved in the mercenary business in the Balkans is Science Applications International Corporation, a contractor that counts many former CIA and national security agency types in its ranks as military personnel. The company, along with another contractor, BDM International, lost out to MPRI for the lucrative Bosnia training deal. Science Applications International has former National Security Agency Director Bobby Ray Inman and two other retired generals on its board of directors. These are individuals with one of the most important commodities in Washington, access. The firm has attempted to corner the market on foreign police training. Its webpage states it provides support for the Justice Department's International Criminal Investigative Training Assistance Program, ICITAP, ICITAP, or ICITAP, by giving training and logistical support to, quote, friendly foreign law enforcement organizations in high-profile environments, unquote. This includes Bosnia. ICITAP was primarily the brainchild of David Kriskovich, a Science Applications International employee and 26-year veteran of the FBI. ICITAP severed a severe blow in September of 1997 when Kriskovich and four other Americans were killed in a helicopter crash in Bosnia. ICITAP may serve as a cover for U.S. intelligence operations. Janice Stromsen, Stromsen, a career employee of the Justice Department who served as ICITAP's director, resisted the program's takeover by CIA elements. In February, Stromsen was relieved of her duties after complaining to the Justice Department Inspector General that ICITAP was being used by the CIA to recruit agents among foreign police officials. And that raises the fundamental question about these private military companies. Just how private are they? The CIA itself was involved in training KLA guerrillas at clandestine bases. This operation was authorized by a presidential finding, unquote, according to a report on CNN's The World Today. With all the high-ranking former officials in these companies, you have to wonder who is actually calling the shots. The shenanigans of the Reagan administration's secret war against Nicaragua were uncovered thanks mainly to the ability of Congress and the press to gain access to government documents. Don't expect the same outcome with the Clinton administration's secret plans to arm the KLA. The fact that so many of the operations are conducted by private mercenary firms means that the Freedom of Information Act does not apply. Companies supplying the KLA can argue that such information is proprietary, and therefore they can block or stymie access to inquisitive congressional investigators and reporters. These private military companies subvert our democracy. According to Admiral Carroll, they, quote, put the U.S. military assistance program one reach removed from government agencies, unquote. Seeing the ease with which military privateers can operate virtually unhindered in the Balkans with the full support of the administration and Congress alike, the veterans of Iran-Contra must be green with envy. This again from the Progressive Magazine's issue of August of 1999, an article called Mercenaries in Kosovo, the U.S. Connection to the KLA, authored by Wayne Madsen, last name again, M-A-D-S-E-N. A couple of notes in this regard. The use of, quote, private, unquote, intelligence companies and military companies is by no means new. And in fact, there is a very close relationship between many, quote, private, unquote, security outfits and the intelligence community. The definitive book about that association is called Spooks, authored by Jim Hogan, last name H-O-U-G-A-N. I believe the book is out of print at this time, but it's still readily available in used bookstores and libraries. And again, Spooks by Jim Hogan is the best book about the, quote, private, unquote, intelligence services and their connections to our intelligence apparatus as a whole and also to major multinational corporations who enlist their services. And again, for background on this, I strongly recommend the book Spooks. I've also noted some of the fascist antecedents to some of the military formations now in the Balkans. This from For the Record segment 161. Again, there was a Bosnian Muslim Waffen SS division in World War II called the Hanjar Division, put together by Haj Amin al-Husseini, the self-proclaimed Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, the first leader of the Palestinian National Movement, and a major in the SS, and a key Axis spy before, during, and after World War II. The best-known member of the Hanjar Division was Alija Izetbegović, the current president of Bosnia. Izetbegović created a unit, and this obviously must have come to a certain extent at least with the assistance of MPRI. He created another unit as the protective unit for not only himself but also other members of the Bosnian political leadership. That unit was named Hanjar also, again, H-A-N-J-A-R. and it was specifically named after and modeled after the 13th Waffen-SS Division of Izet Begovic's youth. That unit was comprised primarily of ethnic Albanians and was trained by veteran Pakistani and Arab veterans of the Afghan War, again a major U.S. covert operation. In mid-1995, veterans of the Hanjar Division, the new Hanjar Division, was engaged in force projection into the Kosovo-Macedonia area. As also noted in For the Record segment 161, available from Spitfire, the KLA itself has fascist antecedents from many pro-Axis military units from World War II, when Kosovo was temporarily joined to Albania as part of a greater Albania desired by ethnic Albanians. That led many of them to view Germany, Nazi Germany, and contemporary Germany as a liberating and savior element. Many members of the KLA are the descendants of some of these fascist military units, including and especially the 21st Waffen-SS Division, the Skanderberg Division, which was composed of ethnic Albanians, almost all of whom were from Kosovo. So do note these fascist antecedents. I've made allusions to tapes that are available and can flesh out listeners' understanding. Those are available from a tape duplication service called Spitfire. That's one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E. You can locate them at P.O. Box 1179. That's in Ben Lomond, California, zip code 95005. Once again, Spitfire, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. The email address for Spitfire is spitfire@ix.netcom.com. That's spitfire@ix.netcom.com. There's a list of and description of the tapes available from Spitfire on the Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com. That's spitfirelist.com. And there's also a list of those tapes on the KFJC website, usually a little bit behind Spitfire in terms of being up to date. That website is at kfjc.org, and the listings on the KFJC website have links to the various tapes referred to in the descriptions, so you can just click on those and get right to those. Listeners can email me at my home base station, KFJC-FM in the Bay Area, at demory@kfjc.org. That's demory@kfjc.org. I do not have time to answer correspondence, even email, so please don't be insulted if I don't get back to you. I just don't have time. That concludes this segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.